wanna grow up on a toys rocket. They got a million toys at Toys R Us that I can play with.
Yes, the Toys R Us jingle. That will be your earworm for today, courtesy of the Ideas Network. The Toys R Us liquidation filing last week will trigger clearance sales that could begin as soon as tomorrow at some of the locations that had not already planned to close. Babies R Us stores will be closing as a result of the liquidation as well, though its website will remain up and running for the time being. We're talking about the rise and fall of the big box toy store on this hour of the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Jim Silver is a toy industry expert. He's CEO and editor-in-chief of the website TTPM. That stands for Toys, Tots, Pets, and More, which reviews toys, among other things. Jim, welcome to the program.
Good morning. Nice to be here.
All right, well, Toys R Us, for many decades, this was the go-to store for kids and parents to check out the latest and greatest toys, but the last few years haven't been kind to this retailer, and that leads us to last week's announcement that all 735 Toys R Us stores in the U.S. would be closing. Can you tell us what happened in this saga in the toy industry?
It's funny. Actually, the last 20 years has not been kind to Toys R Us. Most people don't realize, and they've just heard about it over the last few years. But their problems really started in the early 90s, to the point where in the late 90s they had to change CEOs to 2005-2006, where they had to do a leverage buyout and incur $5.5 billion in debt. So this has been a problem that's been building up over 20-plus years, because it really started in the 90s when Walmart lowered their prices on diapers to draw customers to the store. Families would go to Toys R Us. They'd buy their diapers, their formulas, all your needs for a child. And when Walmart started pricing diapers and a few of the household items cheaper, it took the traffic out of Toys R Us during the first 9 months of the year, and they lost that traffic. Later on, when they became more of a seasonal store that you'd go there during the year for maybe a hot item or take your child or for a birthday, they became heavily dependent on fourth quarter sales. And then Walmart and Target in the late 90s started discounting items, discounting toys, and make them loss leaders. So they would sell them at break even or a loss, and that's where Toys R Us made their profit margins. So Toys R Us had a situation that they weren't getting traffic during the first 9 months of the year, but they're struggling to make money during the last 3 months of the year, and that just kept spiraling. There were a lot of mistakes. They spent money foolishly. They didn't adapt. They didn't build a proper website. There were so many mistakes that led up to this.
But there are also retail historians out there who would say, you know what, Toys R Us was a category killer. It put so many small toy stores out of business because it dominated the big box retail environment. Is there anything to that?
That's absolutely true. In the industry, you go back to the 80s and 90s, and there were probably about 10 times the amount of independent toy stores. And those independent toy stores just could not compete on price. The ones that have survived because of great customer service, a difference in selection. But what happened, they would carry the hot Star Wars item, Barbie item, and Toys R Us, because they bought in such volume, would be cheaper. And consumers, number one reason why they buy an item or where they buy it is price. So those independent stores could not compete. And yes, thousands of independent toy stores were put out of business because of Toys R Us.
Well, then how is the toy business these days? How is it doing? How are independents doing?
The toy business is in a evolutional stage. The actual business is solid. It's still about a $21 billion business with growth in many categories. You see Barbie during the fourth quarter having a big comeback, having one of her best years. Nerf and Play-Doh having two of their best years. Hot items like Hatchimals, LOL, Fingerlings. So it's still a very solid business. It's what has changed is how and where people are buying toys, especially for the holidays. You know, for the holidays, you don't take your child to the store to pick out their present. They generally make lists. You have an idea. You want to research what you're buying. and it's easy to buy online. And for that reason, just in the month of December, for the first time ever, more purchases were made online than in store. I think it was 51% of all purchases were made online. Now, overall for the year, the toy industry is about 30% online, but consumers are doing more online than ever before. What they still like to do, and what was great about Toys R Us, was an opportunity to take your child. Mm. You know, where do you take your kids for somewhere fun? And I always look at Toys R Us as going to Santa's workshop, or almost like Willy Wonka, that a whole world of toys for a child to explore.
Aisle after aisle, yeah. Well, riddle me this, because Toys R Us, they bought out FAO Schwartz back, what was it, 90s maybe? And now Toys R Us is liquidating, and we're hearing reports FAO Schwartz is coming back.
That's right. There's a person by the name of David Nigley who ran FAO Schwartz, and he's been brought back to be the chief merchant officer. And they are going to be opening in November in Rockefeller Center. So location's a little different, about 10 blocks away, actually a better location. And they're also planning up opening up some pop-up stores. So FAO is reopening this year. And one of the things that they have to do is, again, have a different selection. If you have the same thing as an independent toy store that Walmart, Target, and Amazon has, you're not going to succeed. We see in other countries, those that succeed have some of the hot items, but they also have items that you generally don't find. A big selection of STEM toys, specialty items, also great customer service. Independent toy stores that are successful have free gift wrapping. You can literally call up on your phone, help, I need a present for a five-year-old girl, under $20. And you could just go in there and have it picked up. So it's all about customer service and selection. The other problem Toys R Us had was the size of their stores. They were about 35,000 square feet, which is huge, and it was too big. We see the independent toy stores that are successful in the chains around the world that are successful about half that size.
Jim Silver is with us. He's CEO and editor-in-chief of the website TTPM. That's Toys, Tots, Pets, and More. Getting your insights on the state of the toy industry, 800-642-1234. What toy store do you remember going to as a kid? What are those memories like? Did you frequent KB Toys at the mall, perhaps? 800-642-1234. You can also tweet us at WPR Mornings. So, Jim Silver, what is the breakdown then on how business is being done in toys? Is it mostly online versus in stores? Have we reached a pivot point?
This is what we call a disruptive year, as because of Toys R Us, things are going to change. So right now, about 30 to 35% is bought online. So there's still probably 65, 68% is bought in store. The leader is Walmart, and then depending, it's pretty close between Target and Amazon, who's second. But what's happening with Toys R Us is going to make it very disruptive of where the rest of the volume is going to go. Just because Toys R Us went out of business means you're not going to buy a toy for somebody's birthday or an occasion or for the holidays. So where's that volume going to go? There's multiple places. Number one, this is not being talked about often enough, but the Canadian Toys R Us, which is being sold and is very profitable, is making a play to buy the largest 200 Toys R Us stores and keep them running in the United States. And that bidding starts in less than a week. Mm. So there's still hope with a smaller operation, smaller overhead, that the biggest and largest Toys R Us most profitable stores might stay open. That being said, Party City has one of the top merchants from Toys R Us over the past years, has joined Party City, and they're making an active play. Best Buy has already announced they're expanding their offerings during the holiday, greatly expand their toy offerings, Kohl's and Penny's. And I would all but guarantee, and I can't say who, there are many large international toy chains that are very different than Toys R Us, in which they're smaller, about 18,000 square feet. They have great experiences in the store where it's more hands-on customer service. So it's really a whole experience going to the toy store. They're all looking at opening in the United States. And while it won't happen this year, I would expect one or two to open in the U.S. next year. So I believe the United States will have another toy chain by holiday 2019.
Toys R Us dominated the toy industry by driving its competitors out of business. Retail historians gave it the distinction of being the so-called category killer. That's a company that so completely dominates its retail category that it drove others out of business. We're talking about the liquidation of Toys R Us, what it means for the toy industry. Jim Silver stays with us. He's CEO and editor-in-chief of the website TTPM. You can join 800-642-1234. If you're a parent, where do you get the toys? Let's talk about it after this news.
Chopsticks.
That is Tom Hanks and the late Robert Loggia in the 1988 film Big, playing chopsticks on foot piano in an FAO Schwartz store. FAO Schwartz was founded in 1862 and was once the oldest toy store in America. Its flagship store on Fifth Avenue in New York was a popular tourist destination and gained iconic status for its floor piano. But what comes around goes around, as they say, because FAO Schwartz is looking to open a new store, flagship location at Rockefeller Plaza in New York, just in time for the holidays. So as Toys R Us liquidates, FAO Schwartz is in growth mode. It is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer Kent. Jim Silver stays with us to make sense of the state of the toy industry. He's CEO and editor-in-chief of the website TTPM. That stands for Toys, Tots, Pets and More, which reviews toys, among other things. Getting your insights and questions at 800-642-1234. Where do you do your toy shopping these days? Will you be sad to see Toys R Us go? Is it important to you to have a dedicated retail space for toys? Call in, tweet us, WPR Mornings. Let's go to Angela, joining us from Partyville. Hi, Angela.
Good morning. A family friend referred us to a toy store in Baraboo, Wisconsin. I don't remember the name of it, but it's on the north side of the square near the Al Ringling Theater. And it's exactly what the guest described a little bit ago, in that you can go in. It's a small store, probably 1,500 square feet. You can go in and say, I need a toy for a child this age. You can be gender specific, and they will guide you to a multitude of toys, activities, games. And they can give you guidance, as in if the child needs to be able to read to play the game or not, and they have varied prices. It's an excellent place to go, and we will be returning there for our toy shopping.
So that store is Just Imagine Toys. Does that right. name sound familiar?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yes.
Jim Silver, what do you make of that?
You're going to see that all over the country. When you have a smaller, whether it be a chain or toy store, the customer service is different. Often the CEO, and who's often in the store, is somebody who goes to Toy Fair. They know the toys a lot better. So the customer service will be better. They do gift wrapping. They're a lot more helpful. So a lot, because of Toys R Us going away, you will see a surge of these independent toy stores. And the consumers that do want to shop in bricks and mortar will really enjoy the shopping experience once they actually go there.
Angela, thanks so much for the call. Well, Jim, take off your toy analyst hat for a moment. Are we losing something here as Toys R Us goes away? You know, talking through your vision as a toy fan.
I'm hoping we're not losing something. You know, I look at Toys R Us through the years, and the customer service changing, the in-store experience not being as good, the hands-on experience not being very good. And what I'm hoping is, yes, it's sad that Toys R Us is going away, but I'm really hoping what we do get is a toy chain from another retailer that's better than what Toys R Us was. And I really think this is going to happen. You go to other countries, in Canada, the names are called Mastermind. They have 63 stores, or Indigo, which is bookstores and toy stores are now in the U.S. You also have, in England, two big toy stores called Smith's and The Entertainer in Brazil, ReHappy. I expect stores like these will be in the U.S., and that when you see these stores that are smaller but still large enough and consumers can go in and you go into the store and the experience is great, it's hands-on, you get more excited about the toys. You get to try some of the toys that, yes, right now we're missing Toys R Us, but 2 years from now, if we have some of these stores, I think Toys R Us will be forgotten very quickly.
Let's talk about toy manufacturers here, the big and the small, Hasbro, Mattel. What are their impacts and what are their thoughts on the closure of Toys R Us?
Well, Mattel and Hasbro and many in the toy industry have been planning on this since they filed bankruptcy back in September. For the big companies, it's going to be, as I said before, more of a disruption where the volume's going to go because you're not sure where people are going. You look at them and Hasbro, Toys R Us accounted for 9% of Hasbro's business, about 14% of Mattel. So it was not the majority of their business. Mm. For smaller companies, mid-sized companies, this could put their companies in a distressed situation. There are a lot of companies that cannot get on the shelf of Walmart and Target. You can get listed at Amazon a little easier, but they're doing 40-50% of their business at Toys R Us. And if they lose that volume, they could be in serious financial trouble. So we expect a couple of things to happen. We expect there's a lot of acquisitions this year in the toy business, which companies like Hasbro, Mattel, Spin Master, and the large ones are able to buy smaller ones. And unfortunately, this will probably put a few companies out of business, which is the sad part.
Can you call to mind any toys that succeeded because Toys R Us took a chance on them, shelved them?
Oh, there are so many. There are things like the first one that comes to mind is Zuzu Pets. And Zuzu Pets was strictly on Toys R Us. Nobody else took a chance. And everybody knows how big of a hit Zuzu Pets was. It was, you know, we all, in the toy industry, we call Toys R Us an incubator, in which they gave small companies a chance to be on the shelf, did not expect instant success, and often you had at 3-6 months a chance for an item to grow and get fans. And that's not often the situation in the other big box retailers.
So if these toy manufacturers, especially the smaller, mid-sized ones, are losing Toys R Us as an option to get their product in front of kids, what might they do instead? Where might they go? How might they change their plans?
Well, you have to think differently. You have to think where we are today. You have to think selling on Amazon and possibly Amazon Marketplace. Selling direct is important. So having a direct-to-consumer alternative, which many manufacturers are doing. Hasbro already has built up a very strong direct-to-consumer business, so they need to build up a direct-to-consumer business. And where a lot of kids is at today, kids are online. Kids have tablets, they have phones, and one way to reach them is through online, and that is social channels. Being on all the different social channels is a great way to reach kids. And right now, the smaller and mid-sized manufacturers, many of them have long-time older people in the business and older in their habits, not necessarily in age, and they're going to have to adjust in terms of how they market and get their name and product out there in the eyes of people, and that is in online social marketing.
So, Jim, are tablets and screens these days crowding out traditional toys?
I get that question quite often, and the answer is a resounding no, and the numbers back that up. That's not just an opinion, it's a fact. What's happened was we've had this question for over 25 years, and it started in the 90s. Kids were on computers. They were playing with CDs on computers and then eventually online games. It did not hurt toy sales a bit. What we've seen is that tablets and phones are the new computers. Kids aren't sitting on desktops anymore. They now have using portable devices. The one area that they really hurt is the children's video game market. The overall video game market has dropped about $5-6 billion, and the demographic now is really 20 to 28 years old. And the reason for that is there's so many great games on tablets and phones. Kids, young kids, 10 and under, aren't buying and playing video games as much as they used to because the barrier of entry. You go out and buy Nintendo Switch, which happens to be a great system, but you're paying $300 for a game, and I'm sorry, $300 for a
system.
And then the games are $50-60. So if you want to go out and get five games, you're spending $550 plus the controllers. It's a $600 purchase. Or if you have a used tablet or even a new tablet you can get for a couple hundred bucks, you then can buy games, and there are thousands of good games for free. But if you want to go for one of the expensive games, like a Minecraft, it'll cost you $5.
Let's go to Mark, joining us from Fall Creek. Hi, Mark.
I'm not sure how much other news you follow, but China is virtually declaring war on the United States today. And I hear this from everybody. Go out and try and buy something that's not made in China. And I'm sure Toys R Us is a place where you would have to look pretty hard to find something that's not made in China. And as apparently Americans become more infantile, I think it'd be interesting to have an idea if they go out and spend $100. And I'm hearing guys that are like 25 years old saying they're going to run out and buy a Black Panther.
Yeah, and Mark, let's explore that for a moment, Mark. What is the influence here of toys made in China? Jim Silver?
Well, the majority of toys are made in China. At one point, it was probably about 98%, but that number is dropping. And the main reason is if they weren't made in China, they just can't be competitively priced. A board game or a toy that sells for $15 would probably sell for $60. So, you know, I don't think consumers are going to go out and spend $60 on an action figure. What we are seeing now is manufacturers are shifting a lot of their facilities. There are a lot of manufacturing now done in Mexico. Thailand is another area that's growing. And so there are other pockets around the world that toy manufacturers are starting to take some of their manufacturing out of China and go to other countries.
We're talking about the state of the toy industry and the big box toy store, its future, with Jim Silver. He's a toy industry expert, and he's CEO of the website TTPM, that's Toys, Tots, Pets, and More, which reviews toys. You can join this conversation at 800-642-1234. What are your thoughts on the future without a Toys R Us? Parents, where do you go toy shopping these days? Will there be a void without a retail toy giant? Will this open up the market for new approaches to toy stores? Let's talk about it. 800-642-1234. You can tweet us at WPR Mornings. Jim Silver, is it harder for original toys, ones that aren't attached to a popular franchise, is it harder for them to succeed these days?
It's much harder, especially if it's introduced from a smaller company. There are large companies, like last year, you saw Fingerlings and LOL, and this
Fidget
year,
spinners.
There are so many new toys being introduced by larger companies because they know how to properly promote and publicize, not just TV advertising, which was often the old way, but how to promote online through social channels. YouTube is an extremely important part of publicity today, and using influencers on YouTube. So the larger companies can afford that and do that. For a smaller company, it's one of the reasons why they do so much with Disney and Nickelodeon, because it's instant recognition. If you have a PJ Masks toy or a Star Wars toy, there is immediate recognition. So you see a lot of companies doing that. As for the companies that don't do that, they just have to, you can get through, you just have to do it really well using social channels, with, I believe, YouTube being the most important for young kids. Not as many young kids are on, or aren't supposed to be on, Instagram, and obviously Facebook is much older, but YouTube is where most kids are at today.
Let's go to Jessica joining us from Sparta. Hi, Jessica.
Hi.
Go ahead.
So I have a large family, and we're like any other Wisconsin family. You know, we're middle of the road. We're not, you know, dirt poor, but we're not rich either. And it's not much of a loss to me to have Toys R Us gone, because even when we do have the money to go out shopping for our kids, that's not the first place we go. I have tried going in there, and the stuff you go to buy isn't there or is too expensive. I find myself and my family going to, like, the Facebook buy, sell, and trades, you know, different small town distributors that may have different options. I searched high and low for a Fisher Price toy for my daughter for Christmas, just because she loves microphones and hearing her own voice. And I had to search high and low to find it. And I even went to a Toys R Us hoping that they would have it. And they did, but for double the price that someplace like Target had it for less.
Jessica, thank you so much for the call. Jim Silver, your thoughts here on what Jessica is saying.
Well, that's one of the reasons why Toys R Us is no more. You look at Walmart and Target, and they really did a number with Toys R Us, especially in the fourth quarter, in terms of pricing. Toys R Us could not match those prices because they need to have higher margins to stay in business, and that's part of the big problem. You know, another problem that Toys R Us had for today's consumer is they often had different prices for online and in-store, and they did this even as close to 2 years ago, in which you'd go in the store and you see a toy for $110, and I'm talking about more expensive, like a Zoomer dinosaur, which was a hot item with the Jurassic Park movie. But online, they had it for $80. And then consumers in Toys R Us who had phones would pop out their phones and realize, what am I doing? Toys R Us has the same toy online for 20-25% more, and this happened quite often, and there was a distrust. Why am I shopping here? Whereas Walmart and Target had lower prices, and it was the same price in-store and online.
Jessica, thanks. Let's go to Jordan now in La Crosse. Hi, Jordan.
Hi. I just want to concur with Joe what Jessica was saying. I'm a father of six, and I do birthday parties for the friends of the family and my own kids, and I shop around so much, and so I do my primary shopping actually on Amazon, because I find that I can get the best deals there. But then I also go around all these stores to where, like, I'm a big kid too. I mean, I play with toys. My wife's like, well, you have more toys than the kids, and now I'm starting to give all my kids the toys. And so, I mean, when I was a kid, I used to shop at Toys R Us, but the pricing is so off. It's like the only reason, where if you're like hardcore into like Marvel action figures, then you'd go get the exclusive from there. But now, like, Walgreens is even carrying exclusive action figures, and you can go to the local town comic shop to get stuff like that. And I think, like, Best Buy, Target, Walmart, all of them, you know, are starting to get into this toy industry to where that there's no way for something like Toys R Us to compete.
Jordan, thanks for those insights. Keep handing those toys down. Toys R Us is heading to bankruptcy court Tuesday to defend its liquidation plan. More than 50 suppliers, including Barbie's maker Mattel and Lego, are lining up against some aspect of the bankruptcy proceedings as creditors demand payments for thousands of toys. We're talking about the state of the toy industry, getting your thoughts on the big box toy store with Jim Silver. He's a toy industry expert, and you can join the conversation at 800-642-1234. So parents, where do you go toy shopping these days? Will there be a void without a big box toy store? Will this open up the market for new avenues for toy stores? Let's talk about it. Also a Main Street issue here right after this news update on the Ideas Network. fondly recall going to Clancy's Drug in Edina, Minnesota as a kid and having a treat at the soda fountain and then going downstairs to Clancy's Toyland. In the 1950s and 60s, it had the largest toy selection in the Twin Cities. I vividly recall descending those stairs and having this bird's eye view, this wide open vista of the rows and rows of toys. So colorful, very bright lights, fluorescent lights buzzing. It was sensory overload for a kid. Decades later, we're exploring the state of the toy industry here on The Morning Show. This is Toys R Us winds down and is liquidating or has a plan to liquidate 735 stores in the U.S. Jim Silver stays with us for this conversation. He's CEO and editor-in-chief of the website TTPM. That's Toys, Tots, Pets, and More, which reviews toys. Getting your memories, your questions and reflections on how you view toys for kids at 800-642-1234. Is online shopping for toys just the same as a magical trip to the store? Does this liquidation make room for more mom-and-pop toy stores to thrive on your main street? 800-642-1234. Tweet us at WPR Mornings. Let's go to Nadine, who's waiting in Barron. Hi, Nadine.
Hi. I'm just calling because I helped organize the children's activities for a large community event recently, and I brought in a basket full of games from my house, you know, some really good games that my kids have enjoyed, and I brought in art supplies and different projects for the kids to do, and I also brought in a whole bunch of cardboard boxes, and I had seen this at a maker fair in St. Paul, and the kids loved the cardboard boxes more than anything else.
Like they're the best toy ever, Nadine, for sure.
Yeah. It was awesome. The kids made kitchens. They made forts. They made houses. They knocked them down and built them again.
They decorated them.
All day long. The cardboard boxes got more use than anything else. And I had, I guess, probably 25 to 30 children in and out. And the feedback that I got from kids, the teenage helpers, the adults who are there, is next year bring more cardboard boxes.
Oh, well, Nadine, great story. Jim Silver, it seems cardboard boxes have always been the crowd pleaser, especially compared to what's inside the box.
It's funny. Nadine actually has a very good point. And I think what the point is, yes, well, cardboard boxes could be popular. It's been the resurgence and the big growth of the activity toy category. This is one of the categories in the toy business that doesn't have any electronics, and that it's all about creating art. We see, even for adults, coloring books and books for color by lines that are surging in popularity. So parents and kids are all looking for this category. Slime is really hot. But the whole idea of creating, there are origamis that you build. And this is just a category that parents and kids actually want to be creating something. It's not just playing with a toy, but that you have a finished project. And for that reason, this whole category is surging. And we call it the maker category. It's actually making something.
Nadine, thanks for the call. Let's go to Carol now, joining us from La Crosse. Good morning, Carol.
Good morning.
Go ahead.
Well, I work part-time at Toys R Us, and I really, really hate to see it go. I remember as a kid shopping there, and it's just a magical world when you walk inside the door. And I know a lot of people have been talking about how expensive it is, and actually, it's not when you do compare prices. And we do match Walmart and Target and Amazon, so, you know, we're very competitive, and I just hate to see this our store closing.
Carol, what is morale like there at your work?
It's down. It's really down. Like I said, I'm very part-time. I started at Christmas time, but I feel so bad for the full-time employees. They've been with Toys R Us for many, many years, even before the Onalaska store opened.
Mm. Carol, thanks so much. Jim Silver, people go in the toy business because they love toys, regardless of whether you work for a retail giant or not. Is there something to that?
Yes, there is. I'd like to let Carol know a couple things. Carol, first of all, I'm sorry for everybody. I have a lot of friends at Toys R Us and Toys R Us stores, but we have a live price comparison tool on TTPM in which we feature 15 different retailers and we keep track. And Toys R Us is more expensive about 83% of the time. So when you really track all the toys available, they are more expensive. And also, part of the reason is they just spent a lot of money foolishly throughout the years, from building a new headquarters, which wasn't needed, cost $35 million, to even the past year, the CEO flying around on a private jet, even after they filed bankruptcy, on the way to bankruptcy. So there was so much money wasted through the years, and this money spent also leads to higher prices. To the second question, most of the people in the toy business are toy people. They're not business people. You know, I jokingly call, and people in the industry say, I'm the kid from Big. I'm Josh Baskin. and you see, you know, we get toys every day. And those who are real toy people, which is a good part of the business, we're excited. You know, every new toy that's introduced, it's like having a baby. They're generally excited about the toys. If you insult their toy, it's like insulting a child. There's a lot of people, it's a family business, a lot of family businesses, generations of businesses in this industry. So it's not your normal, as we say, they're often P&G people, as we say, Procter & Gamble people come into the business of packaged good people. You can pick them out because they think differently. Not they're necessarily bad for the business, but, you know, in the toy business, what makes a successful toy? Number one, it has to be a great toy. So We always like to say the product is the star. If you don't have a great toy, everything else is secondary.
What are some of the stars that you see rising in the coming years in toys? What's out there that's going to be super hot, super cool?
Well, you know, this year we've already seen Black Panther toys really hot, slime and activity. The whole board game category is another category that's booming, and that's because of all the social channels. You see Pie Face, which was huge, and you get slapped in the face with pies. interactive pets. There are follow-up to Fingerlings and Pick-Me Pops, which are popular. There's new Hatchimals coming out this year. There's a lot of new coding toys. There's a lot of new toys. Most of them will be out in September and October, but there's actually a lot of excitement in a lot of different areas this year.
Let's go to Michael in Wisconsin Dells. Hi, Michael.
Yes, hello, good morning.
Good morning.
I was just wondering, you know, obviously we're talking about the shift towards online shopping, but I was wondering, you know, as an adult consumer, it's easy for us to go on like Amazon or other sites and do price comparison, but how do the children go about to know what toys they want? You know, like if they know what they want, you can tell them, and then the adult can go and look and find the items, you know, at a cheaper price. But, like, when I was a child, a lot of the ways that I would find out how I wanted a toy was through, like, Saturday morning cartoons, which that medium has completely changed, and by going to the stores, which obviously you can still do it, like a Walmart or a Target.
And what about catalogs? Do you remember catalogs, Michael?
Definitely. You'd get the big catalog around Christmas time or around Thanksgiving, and you would, you know, pick out Toys R Us, service merchandise.
You would circle everything that you liked, right?
And up to mom and dad, exactly.
Yeah, right. Yeah, so great question, Michael. Jim Silver, what are the avenues for kids to even develop taste and know what to tell the adults?
Well, some of the things Michael talked about still exist, some of it in different forms. So everybody remembers years ago the Sears Wish Book, but Toys R Us has a book, and so does Walmart and Target, and they always come out right after Halloween, right around that period. It's the same thing that you could go through the book and look at pictures. You know, we talk about TV advertising. Well, less kids are watching TV, but there's still a lot of kids watching Disney Channel, Nickelodeon, Cartoon Network, so they are seeing the commercials there. Also, YouTube has commercials, So the kids that are watching on YouTube are seeing those commercials, but probably the biggest area of growth is influencers or people doing reviews. So there are a lot of popular, like EvanTube or Ryan's Toy Reviews at Toys Unlimited with kids showing new toys. They're really popular. We do 5,000 videos a year, and 20% of our audience are kids looking to see toys out of the box for the first time. So there are different avenues. It's just not traditional TV. A lot of it's really on YouTube, and that is a big part of the future of the toy business.
Tom in Burlington, you've been waiting a long time. Go ahead. We're running short on time, but go ahead.
Lego's one toy that I've seen is really exciting, how they've changed things. How has the internet changed? Kids play with the virtual this and virtual. How has that affected your business? They don't really play with toys. They play virtual toys on the internet.
Tom, thanks so much. He also brought up Lego as well as how kids are interacting with the online toys. Two really interesting points there as we start to wind up. Jim Silver.
Well, when we talk about Lego, Legos went through 10 years of growth. They actually grew from $2.5 billion to $5 billion worldwide. However, over the past year and a half, I don't know if you read about, they've struggled quite a bit as their category shifts. They seem to have hit a peak. But they have, you know, they have Lego toys that come alive through tablets. You also have different themes. And one of the most popular things about kids playing with Legos, especially older kids, they will build Lego sets, but then they will play out the stories and tape their stories. One of my favorite stories, and this is something that Lego could never do, is when they had a Raiders of the Lost Ark Lego set, they reenacted the opening scene in Raiders of the Lost Ark of Indiana Jones running through the tunnel with the giant boulder chasing him. And when he came through the end of the tunnel, there was Han Solo and Chewbacca and the Millennium Falcon. So they take multiple Lego sets and create their own stories and their own entertainment, which kids love that these other channels can't do because they mix characters and properties. You could take, with Lego sets, you could take Batman and have Batman versus Spider-Man, which would never happen because they're owned by different studios. So that's what's been really popular, and that's what kids, that's a new form of entertainment that kids are creating online, and this also creates popularity for those toys.
Well, Jim Silver, this has been so much fun. Thanks for joining us.
It was good being here. Thank you.
Jim Silver is a toy industry expert, CEO, and editor-in-chief of the website TTPM that reviews toys. This hour of the morning show was produced by Chris Molina and Naeja Ellison. Michael Deringer provided technical direction. Michelle Johnson, executive producer. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. This is the Ideas Network.